This morning's lesson is commonly known as the Beatitudes, and I'm reading it from Eugene Peterson's The Message. This is probably my favorite version of this particular scripture. Hear God's word from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside, and those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. And this is what he said: "You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink and the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart, put right. Then you can see God and the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. And that's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. And not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you or discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they're uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you're in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble." May God give us understanding of his holy word, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. I don't know how many of you follow the comics. As Tim will tell you, I always enjoy reading the funny pages. That's the first thing that I check out in the news. And one of the comics that I always enjoy is Kathy, and one in particular caught my eye where she had a conversation with her friend Andrea. And Kathy's saying, she says, "You know, when I was little, I put my own needs first, and everyone said I was being selfish and inconsiderate. And now, everyone says I'm supposed to put my own needs first." And so her friend Andrea answers, and she says, "Well, that's right, Kathy. Putting your own needs first is one of the most important things you can do to maintain your self-respect." And Kathy, she looks kind of sad and very confused, and she says, "Well, how can I have any self-respect if I'm being selfish and inconsiderate? Everything is so backwards in this world. And, you know, we think we know what it takes to make us happy, but the reality is, I don't think that we do. I think we're very confused. I can't tell you how many times I talk to people and they'll say, 'You know, I wish I just had some peace and quiet in my life. I just wish I had a time when I could just, oh, sit by a fireplace, maybe with a good book, maybe with, you know, a nice glass of cider and just relax, put my feet up and just do nothing.' And invariably what I find out is when people have that opportunity, that peace, that window, well, there's another B word that appears, and it's not blessed. It's bored. It's true. When we end up with that time or in that perfect state where everything seems right with the world, over and over and over, I see people bored to tears. And then what happens is they start making trouble. Some of you in the workplace may have seen that. A lot of times, people work best together when there's a lot going on, and when there's so much going on, they don't have time to get into trouble with each other. The slow times are when staff members will start picking fights or start, you know, getting into trouble with each other because they're bored. Somehow, we have been created, wired in our brains, to be problem solvers. And so what happens is that when we find ourselves in our lives with no problems to solve, we start creating problems. Now, part of where you'll see this is our love for games. Those of you who are online, on Facebook, on other things, you'll see everybody's playing games, right? If they're not playing them, they're watching them on TV. They're watching all the sports. They're watching everything. We like to see situations where there is conflict or where there are things to be resolved. And when we're playing games ourselves, we like to see ourselves improving at those games. We like figuring out solutions. We like getting our brains working on all these little things going on. And yet, we still, there's a part of us that thinks that we would be happier if there were no conflict. Another example is what we're watching and reading. Do you know that there would be no stories, no books, no novels, no sitcoms, no dramas, no movies, if there weren't problems? Can you think of any movie or show you've ever seen where it starts out, you've got a mom and a dad and the kids, and they're all happy and everything's perfect? And they're sitting there? So how are things with you? They're good. How are things with you? They're good. You're going to watch 30 minutes of them sitting around saying, things are good? No. So where's the story? Where's the problem? Where's the conflict? Where's the interest? We are addicted, in fact, I think, to problems. But the flip side is that we look at them as, oh no, I've got these problems. We become drama queens or kings, caught up in all the problems and the dramas, and how difficult life is, how painful life is, how awful life is. And what it comes down to is, yeah, life can be hard. I'm not saying that it can't be. And many of us at this very moment have things in our lives that we really wish we weren't dealing with. Things that are beyond us and where we can feel genuinely overwhelmed. And I'm not making light of those things. But what I am trying to say is a lot of times we give up our power. And by power, I don't mean always what we can do, but we give up our divine power. I included in our bulletin this morning something that I've handed out before, but I'm handing out again because I find it so helpful and I think that you might as well. And it's this little poem that was written by a mystic back in the 13th century called Rumi's Guest House. And I want to take just a look at it. He talks about this being human is a guest house, and every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the sham, the malice. Meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. I believe in this. And one example of someone else who really sort of put this strategy to the test was Dr. Viktor Frankl, who wrote the book Man's Search for Meaning. Now, some of you may know that he was imprisoned by the Nazis in World War II because he was a Jew, and his wife and his children and his parents were all killed during the Holocaust. kind of makes most of our problems seem sort of small by comparison, doesn't it? But here is a man who was there in that concentration camp, and the Gestapo made him strip. And he stood there totally naked. Not just in the physical sense, but in every way. Naked. With nothing. Stripped of everything. And as they cut away his wedding band, he said to himself, "You can take my wife. You can take away my children. You can strip me of my clothes and my freedom, that there is one thing that no person can ever take away from me. And that is my freedom to choose how I will react to what happens to me." Even in a time such as that, he realized that he had a choice. He could choose to be a victim. He could choose to give in and be swallowed up by all the horror that was going on in his life. Or he could choose to stand in that nakedness and still be whole. God wants us to see everything that comes into our lives as an opportunity, as a blessing. And he doesn't leave us to control all that ourselves. In fact, do you know the reason why we enjoy all those games? Why we enjoy all the drama around us? Each of us also has a hunger to control what's going on. A hunger to control the outcomes. And it's difficult for us to accept we're not in control. And we never will be. So we seek out these things that we feel we can control. But it is an illusion. And God is trying to strip us of those things so that we can know Him. So that we can know something better. So that we can grow strong. We know that as we're challenged with things, we have opportunities. And last night, Tim and I, we were watching the nationals for the skating. We saw all these young women who are out there on the ice, and we saw so many of them. They would fall, and they would get back up on their feet, and they would keep skating. And it was amazing to see how they didn't miss a beat. And no matter how many times they fell, they would get back up. They never gave up. And as a result, you saw this incredible, impossible beauty. I mean, I think about what they're doing. I can't do that stuff standing on the ground, never mind on ice in motion. And yet they never gave up. God wants to give us so much. But we have to fall before He can pick us up. We have to stumble before we can move on. And as we stumble and as we fall, that's where we develop a compassion and a care for other people. That's where we come to value each other. Those who live little protected lives, they don't know how to love. We love and learn to love by going through those difficult times ourselves. That's where our compassion is shaped, our hearts are shaped, our lives are shaped. Not by the easy stuff, but by the challenges. So we have two choices. Every single one of us in this room is going through stuff that we would rather not go through. And we have two choices. We can choose to be victims and to be beat up by it and to let it just wipe us out. Or we can say no. And we can claim that incredible power. We can let go of all the phony stuff in this world, all the fake stuff that's never going to make us happy. We can claim that power. And we can emerge as the people God created us to be. People who love and people who make a difference. And in that, find the greatest happiness that is. I stand here on Sunday mornings for one reason. And that is because coming out of a lot of difficult things throughout my life, from cancer to abuse to you name it, I have found every single one of those difficult situations to be a gift because of God. I want you to know that. I want everyone I meet to know about that. To be able to claim that. Not because I want them to believe like I believe, not because I want to control them or put, you know, my hand on, but because my life has been changed and I can face every single morning with a joy that's not coming from me, but coming from Him. And I want you to have that too. I want you to know that too. That's my prayer. That's my hope. May you be blessed. Deeply blessed. Let us pray. Almighty God, the world is upside down and so confusing. And it is hard to understand how the difficulties we face can be gifts. But we pray, Lord, that you would give us that vision, that hope, that understanding. That you would remove all fear from us. That you would help us to just open ourselves, let go of control, and be your children, guided in all we do by you and blessed by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.